Good morning, everybody. Welcome, Deputy, with the department, and welcome all members and visitors. We are going to start with the presentation from the Minister on this. What is the thing of yourself, Minister? Sports in Daba. From there, we'll go to the department. But I don't see the DG here. I don't know who's leading. Or Boris can only give an apology. Professor Singh is leading. I hope, Professor Singh, that every directorate is here so that we can deal, when we deal with the administration, we deal with the directorate of administration. And so. But because of this presentation, I don't think we are going to do justice to this quarterly report. We must agree that we will go, and if we don't finish, and I think we are not going to finish, then we'll have to negotiate with the department to come back again. Because this thing of just browsing over things, to me, I don't think it's going to help us. We need to get the detail. We must be happy that we've done the job. And there are issues which we've requested the department to look at. We need to get those reports. How far are we with those things? So that will be the line. On that note, I'll give direct over to you, Deputy Minister. Provide, you want to say something, Colin? Okay. Take the floor. Shoot straight. Not Kapananga, but straight. Your corner.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Whip, you're cracking the whip this morning on us. Thank you so much, Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee, for affording us the opportunity to be here this morning. Apologies for Minister Mbalula. I didn't hear the Chair mentioning that. He's otherwise occupied with departmental work, and so is our DG. I don't think I have to introduce all the members of the department who are here. I think they are all well known. Chairperson, we did distribute via the Secretariat all the documentation pertaining the discussion documents building up to the first ever sports plan, national sports plan, which we hope to conclude at the Indaba after various Izindaba that are taking place and have taken place already right throughout the country. In the process, we have also embarked on consulting private sector, sponsorship, other sister departments, and the view is clearly to get input to enrich the documentation that we are working on. To have a principled sports plan and to embark on a road after we've agreed on the sports plan on the consequentials that will flow from the sports plan. But, Chair, at the outset, let us just go one step back. We have had a process of developing a white paper and updating a white paper, which is a policy document. We have never had a plan, which is a working document, guiding us where we're going to. We also know that we had a strategic session in January this year where we have thrashed out a lot of things relating to sport, and that we've then resolved there six priority areas which the minister dubbed the roadmap. That is not the sports plan, that is part of the sports plan. But those are the areas that we're saying, as for now, we are putting emphasis on. Chairperson, obviously, we have to speak about a stronger and a wider participation based in sport. If we are not going to tap into that, we will not tap into the potential of this country. and we will not be able to unearth all the talent that we have in this country. So at the beginning, we have to agree the participation base must be broadened in South Africa, because that will feed into international success. It will feed in as to how we as a country are viewed. We will also have to talk frankly and enrich the enabling environment, the enablers to the sports plan. We're talking about adequately resourced sports plan. Now, we all know, as we sit here, Honorable Chairperson, that the resources are scarce, and we will therefore have to look very seriously as a consequential from the sports plan. How we align all the funding to have optimal performance and to leverage as much as possible from that. Chair, the sports plan also takes place within the environment where we have a constitution in this country. Constitution talks to 9 provinces. So there's a legislative framework within which the sports plan is being drawn up. And there are certain policy imperatives that we will have to talk to in the sports plan. We make suggestions in this regard. But there are other fundamental principles, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, that will, once we've agreed principally on what is in the sports plan and what is the sports plan, as a consequential, will come out. And when we talk about funding, we talk about ring-fenced funding in the municipal infrastructure ground. That is why we've embarked in having SALGA on board in the steering committee, Honorable Chairperson. This is why we will have a consultative process with SALGA, with the provinces, with the MECs, to ensure that we tap in to that part as a matter of urgency. You see, Honorable Chairperson, you would have received a framework sports facilities plan. We can't finalize the plan until the time that we've agreed on the sports plan, because you will speak to the enrichment of that plan, obviously. We would like that. But once that's done, I think every person in this country must be clear. We will be able to say in 11 months' time, according to this plan and allocated MIC funding, this facility will be either built or upgraded. Within that, we also have to talk about what type of facilities are we looking for. Honorable Chairperson, it can't be a single-coded facility that we roll out. It must be multi-coded, and it must speak to the needs of our people. Secondly, Chairperson, clearly we will have to talk about the demarcation of roles and responsibilities in sport. We understand the independence of international sporting federations. We understand the independence of sporting federations, but we will have to be more clear when we talk about the demarcated roles and the functions and the responsibilities. That also talks to the sports commission, sports councils, as well as SASCOC. I don't think we have to go into the ethical environment of a drug-free society and drug-free, doping-free sporting system, but what we also need to do as a consequential after this is to really have a vigorous marketing and communication campaign, so that no person can be unaware or ill-informed as to what the sports plan is. And when I say that, Chairperson, I don't want to jump the gun, but if we agree in a sports plan that we need a decentralized academy system for our athletes to develop, supported scientifically, all that, we must communicate that. And we must say that it must be known. And then, Chairperson, hopefully, all these people that are trying to put up a private academy and run a private academy here and run a private academy there will now either fall in line with the academy system agreed in the sports plan or just vanish. What we have to do, Chairperson, we're in the 18th year of democracy and freedom in this country. We have not seen the desired transformation results in sport. And I'm talking here not about who's the president of the organization or who's the CEO. talking transformation. I mean, I'm shocked if I, in this day and age, see a team that's not really representative of the demographics of this country. And therefore, we have included in the pack a draft transformation charter with a draft scorecard, hoping to enrich the process so that when we conclude, we can say we have a sports plan, a clearly articulated transformation charter and scorecard as an annexure to the sports plan. We will have to talk more vigorously and honestly about the strategies as to how we are going to have what I wish to call, honorable members, a catch-up strategy. What will the strategy be? And we must be clear here about transformation, the imperatives thereof, the enabling environment, what we need, and not resort to what people want to call quotas. It's an insult to people. We must stay away from that. There must be transformation. It must speak to the root of society in South Africa. Now, Chair, obviously, if we talk about transformation and broadening the base of participation, you cannot ignore the most important pillar, and that's school sport. The participation base is right there at school sport. And that is why we've embarked with our sister department, aiming to develop sport in schools in line with our national priorities. But, Chairperson, we will also have to go a little bit further. We will have to talk to grassroots sports programs. I'm talking here about modified sport. What do I mean if I say that? We all know the success of the Baker's Mini Cricket. We all know the concept of Billy Keith's rugby that's taking place. Modified sport. We will have to look at that to broaden the base and to identify the talent. I don't think there's any disagreement on what we've already pronounced. How do we get the youth of this country active? How do we keep them off the streets? How would you deal with them? And I think we all embraced the concept of annual youth camps, where we will certainly let the children play and participate and coach them and identify the talent and ensure that we tap into the rich resource that we have in this country. But, Chairperson, there's something else that we have also agreed on, but it's not really very visible in the country, and we will have to talk to that, and that's recreation. What do honorable members, as we sit here, and when we go back home, what recreational activities are we experiencing around us? I mean, yeah, some people play golf like me. If I have the time to go for 6.5 hours a week, I can't find that time anymore, unfortunately. It's a pity. Or you go for a round of bowls, or what are we doing? We don't have active recreation in this country. And unless we get that going, we're not going to alleviate the pressures on the health bill of government and all that goes with that. But, Honorable Chairperson, we have also embarked and long ago requested SASCOC to assist in the process of getting sports councils in the provinces, in districts, in regions going. And we will have to say, as a consequential, after we've agreed on the sports plan, Honorable Chairperson, that we will have to strengthen the delivery system in sport in this country. And by doing that, we will have to empower sports councils in provinces through SASCOC and SASCOC as such. You can't say you have to deliver and you don't have a funded mandate or a clear demarcation of roles and responsibilities. Obviously, Chairperson, we are vocal about the following thing, and this is that our sister departments, police, defense, services. We would like to see a situation in this country where talent can be developed there, and that there's a career for some of the sports people in this country. And we think that that's a possibility that we are tapping into. Chairperson, I've alluded to the necessity of transformation, talent identification, academy system, underpinned by scientific services. But Chairperson, there's something else that we will have to work on, and this is the impact of mega sports events in the country, and therefore sports tourism. You see, Chairperson, we can't have honourable members a situation where we attend things and then we hear, no, this federation and that one, or this province has now put in a bid and they've been awarded the bid to host such and such event in that year. It has to be a system, honourable members, where, you know, we agree that we are going to bid for that and we are going to host that. And obviously, one must be guided in that strategy, honourable members, by what is it for brand South Africa? What's the value of that? And what is the impact on job creation in the country and sustaining job creation? How many bums will be put in beds, so to say? What will the spend be? So we will have to be clear about that. And we're not saying we're taking away the independence of people. No. We're just saying we are aligning the system so that we don't end up with this notion which I'm picking up, and if you've not picked it up, I've clearly picked it up. Yeah, well, don't worry, that we will just apply to the lotto and they will give the money. No, we can't work like that. It must be a seamless system. Honourable Chairperson, we will also have to speak about sport for peace, peacekeeping, peace building, and then for development. We must also clearly not miss the opportunities in the global environment we're working in. United Nations, the International Olympic Committee, those organizations are extremely busy in this area of sport for peace and development. Now, Chairperson, another thing, which is going to be, I know, a big discussion in the Indaba. I hear it is a big discussion in the East Indaba, and I assume it will be one here as well. Honorable Chairperson, we have to talk about professionalism in sport. And if we talk about that, we have to distinguish between amateur sport participation and so-called professional sport. You know, Chair, the one thing that is a little bit undermining, I don't want to now be code specific, let's stay clear of codes. Let's just talk the principle. But you know what is a little bit uncomfortable if you hear that people under the age of 18 years of age are being professionally contracted, put in academies and locked up. It can't happen, really. We must talk about that. Well, one is also a little bit uncomfortable, you know, Honourable Chairperson, if you hear that, no, so-and-so went there, took out the checkbook, bought the three best players or whatever, locked them up in academy, and you don't see those people play for any club, you don't see them playing in the league structure, you see nothing. You just see them locked up in academy because they were bought. We have to pronounce in the interest of our children, of our country, on professionalism in sport. What is meant by that? And what is the transition between amateur to professionalism and post-professional sport? What are we doing with our people that has excelled very well? What is their retirement plan? How do we launch them back into society? Chair, we obviously have to bite another bullet in the sports plan. We will have to take into account the international sports calendar. And when we identify talent, and what I would like to call a catch-up strategy, we implement that. We must be clear what cycle are we putting our athletes and our development into. At the present moment, there's only a four-year cycle because the Olympics is every 4 years. You know, in the year before the Olympics, we have the Commonwealth Games, and then it given for here and there a 12-year cycle. We must speak about that. We must talk about that. Chairperson, another thing that we need to pronounce on is the necessity of a sports house. Let me just unpack what I'm saying. We have a host of smaller federations, not professional, who are not in the face of the people every weekend and every day with sport, who are really battling. They are getting a 50 or a whatever thousand from the department to keep a telephone line operating, and when you talk to certain people, the office is the boot of the car and the cell phone. We can't do that. So we would like to have input and enrichment on the sports house. What do we mean by that? These federations pool the money, put them there with Sport and Recreation South Africa independently, but then appoint people to give support administratively in terms of facilities and all that goes with that. In fact, I think we should also dream a little bit and think out of the box. When we establish that thing, we need not pronounce on that, Honorable Chairperson, but in the back of our minds we must say to ourselves, we can even through and with the sports house play a role in housing continental or regional or even international federations or whatever support. Chairperson, the other thing that we will have to not unpack as part of the sports plan, but as a consequential. In other words, once we've agreed on the sports plan and we talk to the alignment of funding, we must really pronounce on the lottery and how the money in the lottery will be put to use to achieve our objectives. Not only the Sport and Recreation Distribution Agency, Chairperson, but also the Miscellaneous Fund. And to that extent, we've had discussions, and we are in the process of discussing with the Department of Trade and Industry. And I just say again, that input we would really like to have that input enriched, but I see that as a round coming back as a consequential after we've agreed on the sports plan. Why do I say that, Chair? I'm just a little bit concerned that if we start to talk about the funding now, how we align it, that from all pockets and corners, we are not going to talk to the principals of what we need in the sports plan. We are going to see how I can align the funding to better my position. Sorry, and clearly the aim, Chairperson, can't be that. The aim must be to have a sports plan fundamentally agreed to on principle, and then, as a consequence, see how do we align the funding to reach the objectives that we set for ourselves. Honorable Chairperson, the objectives of the Indaba, I don't think I have to talk to that. But safe to say that once we have agreed and adopted the sports plan, it must become a working document. And to avoid misunderstanding and this, we foresee that a month, 6 weeks after the adoption, we will have a launch of that plan, which will be accompanied by delivery agreements. Sorry, Chair, the flu is getting to me. It will have to be underpinned and accompanied by delivery agreements between Department of SASCOC, Department of Federations, Department of SALGA, so that we all are on the same hymn sheet. For instance, Chair, we have already embarked on a road to talk to National Treasury to develop a document in line with the Treasury regulations so that we align the process of budgeting with the provinces so that we speak to a seamless process, and that process is very well on track and very well supported by the provinces. Chairperson, I really hope that we will, and this is the request, embark on a genuine, principled, but constructive debate. guided by principle in the legal framework that we, in the legal environment. And the aim must be to, if we say transform sport, it must be to transform it for a better life for people in South Africa, but also for a well-functioning sporting system, so that we really tap in to the talent. Honorable Chairperson, before I ask the Chief Director in the department to, with your permission, walk the committee through the sports plan as proposed with a view to solicit your enrichment inputs, I just want to once again ask, if tonight you're at home or tomorrow morning and you have a bright idea, you want to give input to something, click onto our website, go to the icon of the Sports Indaba, give your input. It's monitored. Is there, Honorable Chairperson, I had thought to just make those opening remarks, and with your permission, honorable members, ask Dr. van der Spey to walk you through the sports plan, please.
That's okay, but you're still going to be around, eh? Right. Dr. van der Spey?
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. This presentation is actually just adding a bit more flesh to what the Deputy Minister already mentioned, so I'm not going to elaborate on all the issues already mentioned by the Deputy Minister. Then also just to say that this presentation serves as a kind of a template that was also used by all 9 provinces when they had the Indaba on their sports plan, as well as their contribution to building up to the national Indaba. If we just very briefly look at the process up till now, that as the Deputy Minister mentioned, it actually all started with the Minister's strategic workshop at Misty Hills from 10 to 12 January, where the white paper was discussed. But then the feeling of the delegates also was that, yes, it is fine to have a policy document, but the problem is, how are we going to implement it? Because that can make a difference if we have a good implementation plan. And there it was then agreed that we need to develop a sport and recreation plan that will put the policy into practice. The Minister then also appointed a steering committee under the chairmanship of the Deputy Minister, Oosthuizen. And on the steering committee, we do have representatives from all the provinces, from SALGA, from SASCOC, as well as from the private sector. They had their first meeting in February this year, and virtually every second week, the steering committee came together to discuss issues, to plan, to build on what we have developed and to enrich it. On 5 April, the concept of the National Sports Plan and the Indaba was launched at a media briefing that took place at the Ellis Park Stadium in Johannesburg. Also in April, the concept of the sports plan and the Indaba was mentioned at the AGM of SASCOC in East London, where they also were made aware of the whole process. In April, we also launched the website of the department to cater for the sports in Indaba and the sports plan for the broad public to make inputs and comments. So the documents, as they have been developed by the steering committee, were put on the website for comments and inputs by the general public. In May, we have finalized the first draft sports plan. That was circulated to the steering committee members who made inputs and comments. The Minister's office also released in May what we call the public opinion piece on the sports plan and the Indaba. We also realized that as an important partner, we need to start liaising with National Treasury as the implementation of the sports plan will have serious consequences for the department, especially as far as our funding is concerned. And we have started to negotiate with them to look at the practical implementation of the sports plan, and also how we can align the strategic planning processes of the department with that of the national sports plan. In June, the transformation charter, the draft, was finalized. Honourable Chair, members, as you maybe know, that SASCOC had a transformation committee that worked on a charter, but we agreed that we cannot have a transformation charter for SASCOC and one for the department, and therefore we agreed to merge the processes, that at the end of the day we will have one transformation charter for South African sport. During July, the first Indaba took place in Mpumalanga and the Western Cape, and during the month of August, all seven, the remaining seven provinces already had their Indaba. The inputs and the comments are now forwarded to the department. Within the department, we also had a briefing session with all the staff, also inviting them to make comments and inputs. Now, the next process that will unfold now is also to have discussions with various interest groups, like your organized labor, the private sector, the media, international forums, and so forth, to also allow them the opportunity to make inputs and comments to the plan. The National Indaba is scheduled for the 26th and the 27th of September 2011. And then, especially for the provincial in Indaba, we had various messages from our political leaders, and I'm not going to read all of that. If we look at the very well-known saying of former President Mandela, where he referred to the power of our sport to unite people in a way that little else can do, and we've experienced it. Our current president also referred to the power of sport to transcend racial, cultural, and ethnic barriers. If we look at the Deputy President after the 2010 FIFA World Cup, the well-known and strong message that all things are possible when we work together. And that is, I think, one of the key issues that we want to achieve through the National Sport and Recreation Plan, is to get all the role players involved to start working towards the same objectives and the same goals that we want to achieve. Our minister referred to the policies of the white paper that must now be translated into practice into the national sports plan, and that he regarded this process as one of the most important times in the history of South African sport. The chairperson of the steering committee and our deputy minister also referred to the importance of a coordinated, integrated and aligned sports system within which all component parts are focused towards a common set of goals. Because if we're not going to do that, we will not achieve what we would like to do. The president of SASCOC also committed himself, his organization and all the federations to this process of finalizing a national sport and recreation plan for the country. In brief, Chairperson, the main issues that we want to achieve through the National Indaba is to action the policy directives emanating from the revised white paper from the what to the how. And I think that is the main purpose of the National Sport and Recreation Plan, that it must be practical. It must have activities with people who are, or entities who are going to make responsible for ensuring that we implement those activities. To also ensure that we integrate the six priority areas identified in the roadmap of the minister into the national plan, that has been done. And then to consider the feedback that we receive now from the provinces, from SASCOC, from the national federations, and all other inputs that we're going to receive. And then to facilitate the collective buy-in from all stakeholders to the plan. Also to make sure that we streamline the implementation towards common objectives. To fast-track the transformation charter and the delivery mechanisms for all sectors and role players involved in sport and recreation. and also to elevate the public awareness of the National Sport and Recreation Plan by means of effective and targeted media campaigns. And we also need to make sure that we monitor the implementation of the plan so that we can see, do we make progress? Do we achieve the things that we set ourselves to do? And do we need to tweak the plan if necessary? If we look at the outline or the broad framework of the plan, it basically comprises four sections. The first part looks at a broad introduction to the plan. The second part is actually the heart of the whole plan, where it outlines the key areas that we want to focus on. Section 3 looks at some important policy imperatives, and the fourth part is where we're looking at the implementation of the plan, where we just say we can have a very good plan, but if we don't have also a very fixed implementation plan in place, it's not going to help us. To go back to the first section, the introduction part basically comprises some background to the development of the plan. It briefly refers to the case for sport, the importance of sport for any country, especially if you look at the economic and the social benefits to a country. It dreams of how do we want to see South African sport look by 2020. It does have a vision statement, a statement of purpose, and some core values that should underpin the National Sports Plan. If we go to Section 2, the Sports Plan basically comprises three broad strategic goals. The one of the active nation, the second one is the winning nation, and then there are some enabling, the enabling environment that we say if you do not have that in place, you cannot achieve the first two strategic goals. If we go to the first one, and I'm not going to elaborate here on the things, and the Deputy Minister did refer to many of these issues, but there we look at the importance of school sport, the whole issue of recreation and the recreation opportunities, that we need to look at campaigns to promote the participation in sport, and also that we as a sports sector need to have to make a contribution to the government's priority of job creation. If it comes to winning nation, the importance there of a proper talent identification and development system that must be in place, the academy system that we must make sure is operational, the importance of scientific support services at the different levels of support, and also to expose our talented athletes to national and international competitions. If we look at the enabling environment, there we look at issues like the club structures, because no sports system can function without a proper club structure in place. The importance of empowering our sports people through education and training to ensure that we can equip our coaches to be the best coaches that they can be. And also to look after the needs and the interests of the athletes, to look at the issue of volunteers, and of course, without facilities, you can never develop sport. So there are also specific proposals in that regard. Furthermore, the sports house that was referred to, also to have a well-resourced sports information center so that we can ensure through research that we ensure that South Africa has a leading edge when it comes to sporting matters, and also the important issue of provincial sports councils to make sure that they are fully operational to assist the development of sport at the different levels. And then also we need to look at our international relations, how and where can we benefit from that, and also the role that we as a country can play. If it comes to the policy imperatives, there we address issues of transformation, the sports tourism, and connecting to that is also the issue of the bidding and hosting, the sport for peace and development was referred to. And also that we say as a sports sector, we have to play an important role when it comes to the United Nations drive of sport and the environment to ensure a green world. And also to look at the issue of priority codes, that's always a very sensitive issue, but we need to look at it as a country. Can we support all the federations equally, or do we have to prioritize them? And then also to make sure that we can market our national emblem and colors. If it comes to the implementation phase, there we say that we need to make sure that we align our financial resources, that we use it better, and there's also some fixed proposals in that regard. We also refer to the issue of broadcasting and sponsorships. where we say that we maybe need to re-look the regulations of ICASA and see if we cannot get sport and sport events more regular televised, because that has a very serious impact on the ability of the federations to secure funds from the private sector. And then, Chairperson, we also, after we have finalized the sports plan, would like to have very clear roles and responsibilities of all the role players. The sports plan makes provision for every activity to appoint some entity to take responsibility for that. So that at the end of the day, we will have a list of things that the national department will be responsible for, what the provincial governments will do, what SASCOC will do, what the sports councils will do, and we need to reach consensus on that and sign off on that. And then when it comes, we also say it needs to be implemented within an ethical environment, the issue of drug-free sport, but then also to develop a sport of ethics or a code of ethics for your athletes, for your coaches, for your administrators, and so forth. And then also to look at the communication and marketing strategy. Many times we're doing what we would like to believe some good and positive things in the sports environment, but do we do enough to get it across to the broader public in South Africa? That is a question we need to ask ourselves, and we also come with some proposals in that regard. If we look at some of the key issues, I'm not going to elaborate on them because I think the Deputy Minister referred to many of those issues, the issue of the transformation charter, and the important thing, I think, if we look at the charter is the third section of the charter, because that comprises the scorecard. In the scorecard, there are six dimensions identified on which we want to measure the national federations in their progress of transformation. And each one of those six dimensions has certain indicators. And once the sporting fraternity and we have all agreed on that scorecard, then we will need to do an audit then on where are we at the moment. And then we can start setting targets. Then we can see where we want to go, where are the areas that we need to focus on. The issue of school sport was referred to. We also say that we need to look at the incorporation of the training of teachers in sport and physical education into the teacher training curriculum. We also have the proposals with regards to youth camps in the country where we can keep our young people active in healthy physical activities. The recreation programs we spoke about, the sports councils we spoke about, the greater cooperation with our departments in the police, defense force and correctional services was referred to. Our international sports successes we referred to. And I think then we also asked the question, we do have major sports events like the Comrades and the August in South Africa. Are we doing enough to utilize those major sports events to also achieve specific goals and objectives that we want to set for this country? And those are issues that we also want to look in when we're finalizing the plan. Sport for Peace and Development was spoke about, the issue of professionalism in sport was spoke about, the importance of an international sports calendar was referred to, the sports house was referred to, the ring fencing of MIG funding was referred to, and also then to engage the Department of Human Settlements to ensure that we include sport and recreation facilities into spatial planning. And then the Deputy Minister also referred to the funding model through which we will try to align the funding for sport in this country. If we can come back to the transformation charter and the scorecard, basically it comprises four sections. The first one is looking at the moral and the strategic reasons for transformation, then the transformation charter itself, then the critical important part, and where we would really like members to make their inputs and comments, is the multidimensional transformation scorecard and the measurement system. And then the fourth part is where we look at the commitment to the transformation charter, where the federations and so needs to sign an agreement and commit themselves to the transformation charter. In conclusion, if we can look at the way forward, Chairperson, a drafting team is currently busy to evaluate all the inputs received from the provincial Insendava that already took place, as well as those inputs on the website and all other inputs that we received. The national Indaba scheduled for 26 and 27 September, where we want to finalize the sport and recreation plan. We envisage that at that Indaba, there will still be a few critical areas that we need to resolve. And after the Indaba, then we want to finalize the sports plan with an official launch later this year, and also then where there's an agreement signed between the minister with the key stakeholders and what their areas of responsibility will be. We also will have then within the department look at the alignment of our 5-year strategic plan with that of the national sports plan, and so also the stakeholders. I must say, Chair, that in the steering committee there is total commitment from the provinces to also align all their future planning processes with the National Sport and Recreation Plan. And then, as was referred to also, we need to make sure that we can monitor and evaluate the progress we make. Once again, it doesn't help we develop a nice plan, but we don't monitor it and see the progress that we are making. And if we have to, then we need to update that plan. The inputs from the major contributions we required at this point in time is the inputs on the transformation charter to identify also the areas of possible contributions and cooperation between the various stakeholders, the provinces and SALGA that must plan for sport and recreation support in their business plans and the budget, to activate the implementation of relevant activities as captured in the plan, and then to network with the relevant stakeholders. And all the documents, as we said, and the information is available on the website at that address. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Director. Members, there is it. Again, sharpening to whatever. I've got General. I've got Mr. McKenzie, I've got Honorable Lee, I've got Honorable Tseke, I've got Honorable Mabluwa, and that's how it goes.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Minister, colleagues and department. I have not had an opportunity to read this TIC document. So you will forgive me if I ask some questions or repeat myself. It's not new that we have talked about the need to improve the sport in this country. All the previous ministers have come and gone with their own vision and objectives to improve the sport. But I sense that we need, first of all, to focus on how do we convince the government to reprioritize sport. And to do so, we need to have a mission and an objective which is appealing to them. When you go to the Khotla, for instance, to convince your colleagues at the end of the year to say, we need so much for the sport and so on. But we would need to link it to, say, to a national program. Why do you want to review sport? Call it a sports reviewer, if you like. Not necessarily white paper, but if you say it's a sport review, then it means that there is a need for commitment on the side of the government at national treasury level to take you seriously. So I was going to say, maybe you need to write a memo to your cabinet, just sensitize them already, that you want to position sport to promote our economy and national cohesion. finish. And then you can unpack that by listing what you have already listed. You can also cite certain countries. If you were to do a benchmarking, countries like Australia, for instance, you can see that country that they take sport as their main revenue resource. And to generate revenue for their country, and also to look at their facilities and so on. This consultation, yes, is good. Everybody we've consulted, but I think you need to sell this to your Lekgotla first, to say sport is here and we can improve the relationships amongst South Africans, the economy, and so on. And in so far as the facilities are concerned, I once proposed here that perhaps we need to work with departments of transport, Department of Public Works, I think so, where if, for instance, they are building a highway passing through a certain village or villages, 9 out of 10 times those people always dig and leave scars there which impact negatively on our environment. Whereas if we were to say as part of the contract or a social responsibility of that company, they need to put back that area into its formal origin by putting a sports facility there in that village, instead of leaving that area being a scarred area. So that's my input. Let's use another approach to reprioritize sport. And the president and the cabinet, Lekgotla, must know that as soon as possible. Otherwise, it's going to be another glossy policy document gathering dust in your offices. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, General. I just want to say also this file only became available late Thursday. Parliament was about to close, and I would have to push this slide saying that least members will be leaving, and not all members could get at that point in time. So really, I think we also need to improve so that people must have a benefit so that they can make a proper input into these things. Really, we must improve on that. We know that we'll be coming on this date. Let us make these documents at least a week prior that date available so that really people can have an insight what is in the document. Thank you. Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the Minister and the and his team from the Department of Sport and Recreation. I think that my honourable colleague has touched the nerve. What he's saying is absolutely correct. I think the reprioritisation of sport is a crucial component of the success of the sports plan. Unless it's taken seriously at the national level, this could just become another white paper gathering dust. Having said that, I would like to commend the author and the authors of this plan. I think there are a lot of very sound objectives. And I'd like to just touch on a few things. I've had a chance to briefly scan the documents. But if I could just touch very quickly on a few basic points. But before I do, Minister, in our budget debates, which the sitting of this particular parliament and the last three budget debates we've had, we continually have the same problems of, you know, and you've touched on it, Lotta, we've touched on Love Life, we've touched on school sport budget being reduced. We have expressed concern, this is as a committee, and I think members from every party have discussed these things. The relationship between and the seriousness of Department of Basic Education and the Department of Sport, and is it just talk or is there actual action taking place? Because we're concerned that with your priority of school sport being played in terms of this document, and it states very clearly that you wish to have every single school participating in sport. And for that to happen, Basic Education, Department of Public Works need to come to the party in a big way and very urgently. If I could just get to, so those are from the debates, I think we need to reinforce that these are major issues that are impediments to this plan. Number one, resources, I think, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but when one looks at Lotto sponsors MIG, and I'm pleased you bring fence that, overseas donors, and then we see SAFA, and this hit international headlines, getting a deal from Supersport that was in the billions for football. It makes one think that how does, and you touched on it again, hence the sports house thing, how do the other codes actually survive? Boxing, for example, is getting nothing, and yet SAFA going gets 2 billion or something from TV. I throw these things out because these are some of the challenges that this plan has to wrestle with. The academies, I agree with you. I can tell you that there are rugby unions in this country that are now contracting 16-year-olds at standard 8 level, or which is now grade 10. I'm showing my age, I guess. But in grade 10, it used to be people who had left matric, then it was matriculants, and now it's down to grade 10. And they are being put in boxes. And boys and girls do change very, very markedly from those years of 15, 16 and so on. But it is a worry. So much so that I even read that Real Madrid Football Club, and I just throw this in, have signed a 7 or 9-year-old to play professional football and to be locked into that academy from that age, which I think is just basically criminal. That's just criminal. And we cannot allow ourselves to slip into that. In terms of your goals that the major sports federations retain top three status, your major codes, from here on out, I see, and it's linked to, in my mind, coaching. I'm very concerned that the level of coaching in our country has been totally depleted. If one looks at Model C schools, who in the past were advantage schools, where they had the advantage of qualified coaches, a lot of those coaches are now old, grey, retiring, and they haven't, their expertise haven't been given to the other schools over the last 17 years, which is a lost opportunity. But what concerns me, that we're relying on Model C schools for some of the bigger codes, but when those coaches go, what's left? Where's the vacuum? And I think we need to look at that very, very seriously. Sports House, I'd like you just to tell us a little bit, who is going to control Sports House? Is it going to be people from the small federations, or is it going to be government people, or is it a combination? Transformation. I think it's a very good document. The part I liked about it, in particular, and my colleague as well, said that you've got a selling job with the cabinet. I think you've also got a selling job with our nation. They have to understand what transformation means. And you said in this document that there are three categories of people. People who have got 2 feet stuck in the past, 1 foot in the past, 1 in the future, and others who have got 2 feet firmly planted into the future. And I'm saying it's going to be, needs a massive PR, Minister, to get people to understand whether they're from the old white regime or whether they're from other groupings where there was a radical nature of sorts, to let them understand that transformation is needed in our country. That it's not just a talking thing. It's not a talking head. It's a shift of mind and heart and soul, and then put into action. That's how I read transformation. But it's going to need a massive thing. Facilities, I'm not going to touch on it, but I can tell you now, if the Department of Public Works and others in the rural areas and the MIG funds aren't, and there's a fantastic idea my colleague mentioned of contractors and others who come into rural areas and places, like they do for townships. When a township is being developed, you have to put in roads, you have to put in facilities. Well, they should do exactly the same at a national level. But facilities are, and I know you said we can't discuss it now until the plan has been approved, but it's something we've got to look at. School sport, I won't touch on that. Recreation, I liked your idea, but I think, you know, things like hiking, bird watching, angling, cycling, these are all very good recreational things, but again, the psyche of our nation has to be awoken to that. And
sorry, Chairperson, could Mr. McKenzie please explain bird watching?
if you read the document, my colleague, they discuss bird watching, and it is part of recreation, where one Chairperson, are you protecting me on this one?
We'll be here until tomorrow morning. That
no, that fell under Recreation Minister, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so I'll drop that now that take it away. Right, and then yeah, I've basically touched on it, so just like a bit more information. Thank you.
Please, man, don't get it.
Sorry, Chair.
The honourable member forgot even the thing you were supposed to say, man.
Yeah, but it's
okay.
It was there like a ripe fig, Chairperson. Chairperson, am I sort of inspired by this plan? You know, I must sort of reiterate what was said by the Honourable Olumisa. You know, we've seen so many plans. And where I really want to start is how serious is this department with sport? And if you look, I didn't have time to look at all these documents, but I looked through your reports that you're the tool that I received. You know, the big problem, and they say it, is that they can't fill vacancies. That's in your report. And if you don't fill vacancies, you won't be able to deliver. It's as simple as that. So really, if we really want to show that we are serious, we must start appointing the people to do the job. And then we won't have a report like somebody said here, it couldn't happen because of the big workload. It's in your report. So lighten the workload, spread the load. And there's only one way of doing it, appoint the people. Qualified people. And there are so many, many qualified people who can really do the job for us. So show the cabinet too and the Khotla that you are serious. Because people will then ask you those questions. Now, somebody spoke about different roles. I've spoken to one province and I wanted to know from them, listen, nationally, the Department of Sport and Department of Recreation, they are at least speaking to one another. They are talking to one another. Are you talking to one another at that level too? Because we must remember they also have a role to play. And therefore they must be part of this talking to the Department of Education. And I think Chairperson, the Minister can sort of lead them in that direction. Because, you know, we do up here what we want, but down there, they also have their own domains. And, you know, this is my little area and my domain, and I rule the roost here. So, the talking that is happening nationally must also happen provincially. And even then, if it could happen locally too, but, you know, normally it stops there at provincial level. Then, the big matter, I mean, it is well known, my party stance on transformation. But I'm telling you today, Chairperson, it will never, ever happen as long as we don't really give the resources to the areas where it is needed. You can't expect people to play rugby when there's no rugby fields. You can't expect them to, you know, to have an interest in rugby if there's no rugby field. They can't play. And therefore, you know, when we talk about these things, we must really have the plan. How are we going to involve those people into
into the field of play. That is the only way that it will happen. And I'm telling you today, it will be a long walk because it needs a hell of a lot of money and dedication. And it's for that reason that dedication must really come not only from the Department of Sport, but also from the Department of Education. We all played sport at school level. We all started our careers or whatever it is, or involvement in sport. Where did we start? We started because we had teachers who really led the way, chairperson. You know, that's how it happened. And really we must get the teachers motivated too. So we must really talk to the department. In that way, transformation will happen. I'm telling you, the more people you expose to sport, the more will play and the more people will come through. Now, the other important thing is the bidding for events, and here I want to talk to the minister. You see, we just had the municipal elections. You spoke to many people, and they couldn't understand why we could build billion-rand stadiums and not build them a house of, say, 50,000 rand. And therein comes the quandary, really. Because to them, their problem is their priority. And they think these other things are luxuries. The time has come that we must really prioritize what we can afford internationally. And therefore, if somebody wants to bid for something, and there I agree with you, Mr. Minister, that we must agree to bid for it. Must be a man that's on an ego trip and thinks, you know, if I can get this, it's good for me and good for my little corner. It must be good for this country, good for the people of this country. We must prioritize, chairperson. Lastly, chairperson, and that is why I say we talk about these things all the time. We've been talking about Lotto for so many years, about Lotto for so many years. We've been talking about the fact that we have people struggling and really struggling. And you know, Mr. Minister, because I also worry you a lot about it. People run to us. They want to know, listen, how can we get money to do certain things? I'm talking about sports kids, school kids. And then we have rollovers of billions of rands by the lotto, which I think is criminal. And we must find a way, because in fact, chairperson, lotto was really formed to assist sport in South Africa. That was the main objective, to assist sports and the sports people of this country.
Not because that's
communist. Chairperson, you know, this man is... really, chairperson, I mean, that is why Lotto was created. It was assist these sports people, and I believe it's criminal that we have rollovers of billions of rands each year while people go suffering, while they're living on the sports field, and while we struggle to get money to the people. We make it so difficult for people to access those funds, chairperson. I think the time has come that as we are speaking to education, and I know you are speaking to DTI, please, we must find a way of getting our money. If I say our money, I mean money for sport. And it must reside somewhere else apart. It must be a separate sort of a fund within the department or overseen by the, or whatever, but by a separate structure there. That is really what I feel, chairman. We must find a way of getting lotto money easier to the people. I hope I'm understood. Thank you, chairman.
Yeah, before you come in, Comrade Turk, you know, this thing of lotto, you just remind me, Honorable Lee. Last week or that week, I was phoned by the chairperson of lotto, saying that there are names which... submitted a husband and wife
a husband and wife for a certain distribution agent. What is this thing called? Labobakubmali. Yeah, distribution agents. And they are from, they've got a federation. Now, his husband and wife can have that. It means that man will go definitely there. So these are the things which we have to look at. And we've been raising this thing of these distribution agencies of Lotto. But I don't know. Honorable Tsaka.
Person, just
I'm not married, so
No. Can I just ask something? We know that the Public Credit Industry appoints the distribution agency and that Lotto resides with them, but I am not aware that on the sport and recreation distribution agency there's a husband and a wife serving there.
No. You see what I'm saying? This man was looking for the minister, wanted to convey this. Now, I don't know which distribution agency, but it can be investigated.
It's
not
my affair.
It is the chairperson of Lotto who has raised that with me. Thanks.
So may I just add to... perhaps I could give the names to Mr. Minister.
That is one thing good about this committee. They do their work. Honorable Tsaka.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I'm speaking after the big guns as spoken. So they have stolen my notes here. Thanks for the presentation, Deputy Minister. But firstly, let me raise this concern through you, Acting Chairperson. Honorable Lehman, don't disturb my acting chair. Thank you very much. Yes. Acting chair, through you, No, you're not mine. Let me raise, firstly, before I entertain the presentation, my frustration or my concern towards the sports awards. I think you'll allow me. Deputy Minister, we have received the invitation from your department. But unfortunately, with regard to some logistics within your that was supposed to be done to ourselves as members of parliament were not in order. We have been receiving mixed messages from both the department and the service provider which was appointed with regard to accommodation, traveling, and the venue itself. So we're just so frustrated on that day. In terms of accreditation, members stayed for more than 4 hours, not being accredited. In terms of accommodation, we're just walking up and down. In terms of the venue itself also, it was just a mess. So I think that unprofessionalism was not, it's not allowed actually. If the department wants to invite us, they must invite us with dignity we deserve. And if not, we are not going to attend to that chair.
You forget.
Okay.
You were requested to pay for your accommodation.
Yes,
when
of
you
course,
leave.
Definitely. Yeah. In the morning when I was checking out, they said I must pay. I said, no, how could they? So it was just uncalled for. And you're also frustrated, Chair. I thought you'll raise it because you've arrived at Rustenburg in the morning, but you have been given accommodation at 4 o'clock. I thought you'll raise it. Also, Chair, I think honorable members have raised issues that we have long overdue. There are long overdue. The issue of the MIC, MIG funding, the issue of lottery, I think we have debated them. The issue of facilities, Chair, I think the department has agreed to make an audit. I think they've presented it in the strategic plan that they're going to make an audit to just check all the facilities that we are having throughout the country. I think this is one other report that we must receive either prior to the national sports indaba, so that we can be able to check how many facilities we have in our country. Do they need to be upgraded or to build new facilities? And Chairperson, I'll agree with the Minister when he says that we may have to move from policy to implementation. I think that's what we are looking for, and we'll support the endeavor as it comes. And I'll also Secondly, I've also communicated with my department, my province, with regard to the resolutions that they've submitted, because I was not part of the Indaba in my provincial Indaba. So, but if I did manage to communicate with them, then they'll be able to send that invitation. And the issue of sports, actually, that resolution, the issue of school sports, I think there's also a draft integrated sports plan and a draft schools policy that was presented to the committee, but so far we don't know where are those documents. Did the two ministers meet? Did they agree with the document or the implementation? I think this is what we are looking for prior to the national endeavor. Thank you, Chairperson. And the issue, the last thing, Chair, is the issue that has been raised by the Deputy Minister, that's the issue of catch-up strategy. We've been raising this, Deputy Minister, for quite several times. I think this is the time that we must meet, maybe after the national endeavor, so that we can be able to deal with other issues of the department. Thank you very much.
Honorable Magluwa.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, may I take this opportunity to congratulate the ministry, the minister, the deputy minister, and the staff for giving recognition over this weekend to the performance of the athletes on Sunday. We all know that the minister has come into this department with a very big bang. And from what we see in this presentation and this national plan, one can really echo and say that there's a big, big work awaiting for this ministry when it comes to school sports, the revitalization of sports itself. And also listening to the Deputy Minister today, it makes me once again feel and realize the importance of this portfolio committee. The importance of it, and also linked in partnership with all other portfolios such as Home Affairs, Education, Tourism, Health, COCTA, Safety and Security, to mention a few. But I would like to say something to the Deputy Minister today, is that we had a meeting with the Springbok representatives a few weeks ago. The Springbok representatives, the Villiers. And they were actually grilled by this committee, if I can use that word. This committee was very vocal when it comes to transformation in sports, and specifically the national team. And actually the chairperson himself was very, very vocal on this issue. And we as the sports committee have been actually labeled as a committee who's toothless. And when one speaks on sport and you speak on transformation, then it's political interference. People are very critical when this committee act, when there's no transformation. And I actually want to congratulate the chairperson on the stance that he took during that meeting. After that meeting, there were a number of journalists here. Some of them, and I want to alert everyone here, because sport is at heart when it comes to sport. Some of the journalists go out here and they tweeted the following. Peter the tweet: the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Sport really is utterly useless and without any real mandate. Another one called Zaline Merrington tweet: my first committee where SARU and PDV present, Peter de Villiers was present, doesn't matter what I do, they will never be right unless we win all the time. The female members of sport committee where SARU and Peter de Villiers appeared didn't ask any questions or comments or suggestions made either. Now, ever since I've been in this committee, and I would like us to protect this committee. Everyone speaks in this committee. Unfortunately, that journalist was here only once. Where various platforms where we participate and where we engage when it comes to sports. But today again, the Deputy Minister has assured us in his presentation that we have a role to play. We have a role to play. And we mustn't keep quiet when it comes to transformation. We must not keep quiet. You know, talking about the sport broadcasting in this document, it states that only 75% of total hours allocated to sport content goes to only 5 sporting codes: rugby, cricket, soccer, golf, and motorsport. And that really indicates to us the tremendous challenge that we have as a sport department, as far as Honorable Member bird watching is also concerned. I want to take the ministry to page 12 on the presentation, and regarding mass participation, I would like to say, safe to say, that when it comes to the elderly and also the Golden Games, the document is not that vocal when it comes to participation of the elderly, which I feel that we also have an obligation to form partnerships with the elderly as well as the disabled and also the street children. And then on page 13, I would like to say something on the municipal infrastructure grant.
Sorry, Mr. McGrew, page 13 of what?
Of the presentation.
Okay.
When it comes to the municipal infrastructure grant, and I am of the opinion and believe that everyone here present know the problems that we experience with the respective municipalities when it comes to utilizing these funds. There's a complete lack and interest to utilize funds allocated to the municipalities, specifically allocated for sport. Now, I would like to ask to put emphasis that when it comes to that spending of money, that in terms of this recreation sports plan, special emphasis, special provision must be made to monitor the expenditure of this funding when it comes to sports. Because they are actually, they're on a free ride when it comes to sports utilization of money. So, studies shown that 10% of the population participate in sports. So, it also gives us then the need why we as a committee or the ministry must engage to make special provision on a special committee to investigate, keep a close eye on the monitoring system in terms of spending that money. Every page almost of the document, it took me 4 hours in total to read this whole document. Every page speaks on transformation. Every page. Every second word that the deputy minister has used was transformation. Every word that we have spoken here was transformation. So we have enough reason to take this country forward, because after 17 years, it's an indictment to us as far as the status quo of this sport is concerned. The transformation charter and scorecard. My personal opinion, I am completely against the suggestion that has been given here. Simply because the reason why is there is no punitive measures when it comes to this scorecard. Are we going to score people and further just say, okay, the sport leaders will intervene? Are we going to simply just intervene as far as the recommendation is concerned, make accessible to the, see what is the intervention? We must have now, and we must make a point when it comes to sport. We must give punitive measures, because we are sitting with old furniture within the departments of the various respective sports codes. We must change the constitutional memory of these people, mindset of these peoples. We must go and have a track record and a proper survey to see who are these people that they are involved. What is their pedigree? What is their background? So that we can see what role have they played up until now as far as transformation is concerned. And along rightfully said by the Honorable Lee, that we also have a very important role to see that these people down there must be equipped and must have the necessary funding. It's important for these people to have this funding, because we've been told by Saru when they were here, is that it doesn't help that you have instructors down there, but there is no infrastructure and there's no money allocated to these people to identify these so-called previous disadvantaged people and to assist them. Going to the National Sports Framework Plan on page 14, there is a need to address the human resource. We would like the ministry also to go and have a look to come up with a recruitment plan and how we're going to deal with the human resource, because it has the potential to create a number of jobs for the community out there. But seeing the fact that there is a human resource problem, there is no complete plan from the ministry as far as how they're going, what are they going to do to recruit these people. We need close to 1.5 to 2 billion required to rehabilitate the existing dilapidated stock. It is a challenge for us. There are disparities when it comes to municipalities. Municipalities are asking, some of them, there's no control system. Some of them charge the community. Some of them don't charge the community. So there's also a challenge for us to make away as far as the disparity is concerned. And when it comes to the data on the National Education Information Management System, it states that the data, however, did not indicate the condition and accessibility of the school's facilities to the public. With due respect to the ministry, we already started wrong. We do have information as far as the facilities is concerned, but we don't know. We don't know in what condition these facilities are. Why? Is this an attempt again to send consultations out there again to spend again the very same money to go and see in what condition these facilities are? So there's a need for us also to collate. When we collate data, we must collate properly data. And a very disturbing factor on page 18 in this plan is the question around the recreation facilities and the information submitted by municipalities. It's stated that 30% of the municipalities hasn't submitted the information. On the other hand, we as the ministry expect input from the public. So how can we, as a structure itself, allow that constituted structures like municipalities don't submit what they are already lacking? We haven't started yet. They are lacking their commitment to make this national plan a success and to make this national objective a success. So we also need to put in punitive measures to see that these municipalities must submit the information that the ministry wants. This document talks about the potential of this sport plan to implement in every ward of this country a sports facility. Currently, as we speak, there are 4,000 plus wards in this country, of which 2,000 plus is for the disadvantaged communities. So there's a challenge for us, and we cannot allow that municipalities and everyone else, when the ministry make a call, is treating us the way they are treating us. I would also like to check with Dr. Van der Spey. I'm actually happy and glad to hear that this document is also on the wires. I just want to check with Dr. Van der Spey as well. I am very inquisitive to see a copy of the submission made by the public, and would like to know whether that document is on the wires as well, so that we as a committee can also equip ourselves, because most of us are deployed in various provinces, so that we can also be aware of what is happening in the provinces. So I would like to know whether that document of the public participation is available, as well as the document of the provincial Indabas. I received this document late, and I was actually eager to pay a visit to some of these Indabas to also have a bird's eye view on what is happening in the country. But once again, I would like to say to the ministry and to the deputy ministry, there's a big task awaiting you, and we can only wish you luck, because with the problems that we had in the past with school sports and the huge presentation with the huge budget constraints and everything goes along, we can only wish you best luck as the sports committee, if I may, on behalf of the sports committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Magloa. Honourable Lesiva, and then Honourable Musi.
Thank you, Chairperson. You're acting Chairperson, sorry. The first question is on the issue of monitoring and evaluation. I've got a serious problem because, you know, we have got many stadiums that is white elephants now as we are speaking. Like where I come from in Makado municipalities. We have got a new stadium, maybe it's 5 to 6 years. Nobody's using that stadium. And now the people is busy vandalizing that stadium. When we ask the municipalities, they say, no, we are still going to hand over to the communities. The second one is on the issue of the 27 million for the Love Life. I want to know if the department have the number of people, the young people who benefited from that allocation. And the third one is on the issue of the development. That the training of the coaches and the technical officials. Why that training is only taking place in the international and national? Why? I want to know that. Thank you.
Honourable Musi.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I let me also take an opportunity to thank the ministry for the efforts that they are taking in order to better the department. But I'd want to add Deputy Minister on the issue of not necessarily adding, but would ask the Deputy Minister to elaborate further on issue of recreation and put on, you know, issue of the aspect of disability. Speak more on it, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, if you may allow me, I'm having quite a number of questions, but I'm going to reserve them for when the department has presented. But I want to add on the issue that Honourable Zeki has spoken of, the issue of the treatment. Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I don't have it in the Northwest district. Okay. I want to add on the issue that Honourable Zeki has spoken of the treatment that we experienced at the hotel, you know, from day one up to the last day. And I think in your presence and in the presence of the department, Minister, I think it is high time now that the department should begin to treat us, you know, with decency. People may not be aware that it's happening in every event that we are invited at. Let me indicate. Last year, myself, Honourable Lesiva, were invited in Durban at the cricket. We went there per invitation of Mr. Majola. Chairperson, allow me to indicate this, that when we were there, we had gone there with the chairperson. When we arrived, we were separated. The chairperson was put somewhere else, and then we were placed somewhere else. During lunchtime, the chairperson phoned us to say that we should come and join them where they were taking their lunch, they were eating their lunch. We went there, myself and Mrs. Lesiva. And when we were just about to enter, the security stopped us and said, "Who are you?" And then we said, "Look, we are members of parliament. We are invited by the chairperson." "Who's the chairperson?" "It's not the security. Does not even know Honorable Kompela." We sent somebody else to go and call them. Fortunately, before the chairperson could come, Honorable Majola came out and said to us that I told him that you should not allow people to get in here because the president is in here. And then he raised his head a little bit and called two ladies that were just next to us and said, you two ladies can get inside. Now, Honorable Matola knows us very well, could see us, but could not allow us to get in. And then they closed the door. We went back, and then the chairperson called us again. And then we came. When we wanted to enter, they stopped us to say that, look, Majola has said that you cannot come in here. Now, I got so angry, I did not want to eat anymore. We complained to the chairperson. The chairperson called Majola. Majola apologized. Now, I'm raising this one because the same treatment that I experienced in Durban happened again in that area. You know, you Deputy Minister, you should see my condition. I cannot be told to go up the stairs, you know, and sit up there. You know, now when you have people that are you know, the ass, what do you call these people? The muscles. The muscles, people who are... I'm talking about muscles, people who tell you where to go and sit. I think those are the ashes, whatever. But those people...
When I guide you, take it. It's correct.
Okay, Chair. Okay, Chair. Now, they will tell you, go up there. They are given an order that you are not going to allow anybody to come and sit here. And then you come there, they tell you, look, Chair, you know where it's normally called the extra strong. That's where you should go and sit. And with my condition, I could not go there, Chairperson. But Chairperson, in the presence of the minister, I think it is high time that the department should be told that it should begin to treat us with decency. You know, at times I wonder to which a committee are we a portfolio of? Are we a portfolio committee of SABC? Because by comparison, SABC would treat us much better than our own department. I was invited twice by SABC. Okay.
You run up, please, because I'm worried about time.
Okay, Chair. I'm concluding. Now I'm saying, Chairperson, you know, the other example is that look, we always speak of transformation. Right now there is rugby that is going to play in New Zealand. Where are we? We'll be left in here. But we speak of transformation. Is it transformation only in South Africa or in the meeting? Can we be allowed and given an opportunity at a certain point to travel with these people to go and see whether what we say they should do are doing it? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Vandalin.
Mr. Chair, a lot is being said, asked by my fellow MPs. I don't want to ask or say everything again. Most of the things in the document has been discussed in our budget debates the past 2-3 years. And I'm grateful that it seems as if there's direction. There's actually still a lot of problems which the my comrades has dealt with. It's really a problem when there's people selected from the rural areas and they come to you and they say they must go to a national tournament, they need 5,000 to 7,000 rand. If it's a schools or if it's federations, it's a big problem. So we must actually address this whole problem of there's tournaments on the calendars and there's money available. And I mean, there can't be national tournaments and your ordinary player can't go there because of money. We've dealt with Love Life in the budget debate. Nothing is said in... I didn't read the whole document, but today nothing was said about how Love Life is going to be part of this plan. The date of the Indaba is the 26th and 27th of September. I believe the whole of the department is going to be present and not sitting in New Zealand. The World Cup is on, and I've got my reservations. How many of the department are, and how many of the national federations peoples are going to be available for that date? Or is it going to be a leadership that's going to attend? Are we going to attend? We get the brief of this thing now. We weren't invited to the provincial Indabas and to the first meeting of the minister at the beginning of the year. We weren't invited. Now we get the information. Are we invited? If not invited, I mean, even if we are invited, are we going to sit with the same problem which was the people who went to Rustenburg was sitting with, getting there and not really there? To me, the sports house will be a good thing. If money is allocated to them and so on and so on. I mean, I'm sitting, I've requested our portfolio to call a code like hockey here, because I'm here 3 years now and a code like hockey hasn't been here. I've been all the time involved with hockey and I know what's going on in hockey. The new thing is that you must have an astro to have certain tournaments, to have certain matches. Well, I'm in the Central Karoo. No astro, no team will ever come play there. They say you can play in SWD, but we're not going to come play in Bobo Dwes. You haven't got an astro. It's the so-called advantage people that's got astros, or the big cities has got astros. So it means hockey no more in your rural areas. So that's the problems which we are sitting with. I've heard the past week the funding for Golden Games. I don't know if it's nationally, but this year will be the last of the Golden Games. If so, I mean, it's a thing which was created, and the funding for the Golden Games really became lesser and lesser and lesser. Why? I mean, if there's, we are talking about recreation, and for those people, most of them didn't have the advantages of going to tournaments when they were younger, and this is the ideal way in which they can have part of it. I don't want to go to all the other things, because there's very good things if it can really manifest in not only in a plan, but that it's working. Funding of lottery, funding just the $2 billion for soccer. I mean, what about the other codes? We are talking only about 5 codes. Is it only the 5 codes in South Africa? It's only they that get money. So something must be done with a lot of money to help schools, to help the smaller codes. But smaller codes, I mentioned the problems in smaller codes. I'm not going to ask more questions, because there's much good, but there's problems also.
Yeah, I think the minister indicated that it needs to be released at some time. He indicated that earlier to me. But I don't know who is going to come with the questions when you leave. Because really, we need answers to these questions. You see, the issue which has been raised, that in Davos on the 26th-27th World Cup, we need to have answers for that. Because really, if you want to have an Indaba and come out there with resolutions which needs to be implemented, then we need to have everybody in that Indaba To me, that is fundamental. You see, the one thing I raised at this issue of this place has been raised by Ms. Second, but also me, I'm also happy that it affected the department itself. Professor Singh, Ms. Lu, Mrs. Zani was affected by this very same experience which you've undergone there. So they will have to look at this company which has outsourced this thing too. Because my question was, how can this company be pressurized? Because really, you know, for you to get a flight from Cape Town, a 7 o'clock flight, you must be up at 5, something to 5. Now you think you are going to drive to Rustenburg. Very early you think that you are going to have a nap and you are going to freshen yourself. There was no time to do that. We just had to wear the clothes and they took it out. Fortunately, at least we buy quality things. You know? Because nobody could see that it was not ironed. No, serious. You see, the few questions which I want to ask my Comrade Deputy Minister. How different is this Ndaba going to be to the one in Durban? Because to me, to have Ndaba for the sake of having Ndabas, really. There are resolutions taken. How far are we with the implementation of those resolutions? Yes. You see, this provision is Ndaba. All members have raised it. I want to know the one of this province. How was the invitation sent? Because when you go around, you meet first people, they don't know about this Ndaba. And I am very, very interested to know that. How was this invitation sent? And who was invited? And the attendant, please, who want to see that, please. You see, the issue of the MIG, the MIT, we've been talking about this thing. We've been saying, there's been proposals, even questions to the then President David Mbeki. Can this MIT be taken out of that? Because in the municipalities, there is a march. People want this. People take every cent which is there to meet the immediate demands. You ask municipalities, how do you prioritize school sport? Where is it? A, B, C, D, E. You get it at G. So this is not going to change. This drafting team, who serve on it? You know, we need to understand this so that at the end of the day, you can also call that deputy minister. You say this one is serving there. And we've confronted this one and he doesn't know anything about a monitoring thing, a drafting. The scorecard, the monitoring of it, the department needs to be part of that. All these sports people, at the end of the day, they account to the department. Do we have the capacity in the department for that kind of monitoring? Because at the present moment, it's even difficult for the department to monitor the DORA grant. We need to talk about this SASCOC issue vis-à-vis sports councils. Because my understanding is SASCOC is dealing with high performance. I don't know where does this thing come in from. The issue of school sport. You know, I went through a few documents. And we've been talking about this thing for years. There is a plan. There was an MOU. How far are we? The last time they came to the joint committee, really they were sent back that they must come back prepared so that they can tell us
what is happening around this issue. The sports house, really, can you just really give one, where is the sports house? Is it going to be provincial? Or how is it going to be? Because to me, if it's going to be provincial again, it's going to be in Joburg, it's going to be in Cape Town, it's going to be, those are the places. Where these things are needed, they're not taken there. And we really need to look at this biasness towards these rural communities. Yeah, let me leave it there. The issues of facilities, we are going to deal with when we get to the department. And I hope the person who deals with facilities is here. I hope, because with this audited thing which he has sent, the very serious problems. And that's why I say that we want to deal direct with the person who is responsible for that directorate. Not that the DG or somebody is going to speak on behalf of that person, as if it's Moses and Aaron. No, we want to deal direct. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you so much.
You can't deal with it now. We will have to go for another round so that we can really get this. Because we need to get a very serious engagement in these things. We need to be taken on board so that really people must also understand. Even this is not transformation. Our interpretation of transformation is different. That's why we need to be taken into a room and talk about transformation so that we can understand. When you get out of that room, all of us, the interpretation is one. It's not different. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm surprised that the Director of Facilities is not here, Professor Singh. But we will have to get him here. That's a request. I'm really surprised he's not here, Chairperson. Chairperson, I will try to answer now. You see the disadvantage one is in, Chair. This is not honorable members' criticism. It's just a factual position. We start up with senior members talking. I have not had time to respond to them. The net result is we sit here to respond to questions raised. Valid questions raised, and the seats are empty. So one does not know now whether you should respond to the benefit of the honorable members who were listening, whether you should just ignore it. So, honorable chairperson, let's start with the first input. We have taken a very serious look at how do we, through the processes, elevate sport. We came with a case for sport. We have made the case for sport, I think, very, very soundly. And in this process of this Indaba, we have drafted not only a cabinet memorandum, we are presenting to cabinet. We are presenting all these documents to cabinet. We are discussing it there in the cabinet committee, going to cabinet, because it clearly indicates our intent and the importance of what we are trying to put together as widely as possibly consulted. We can't speak about the importance of, I'm just mentioning examples here. We can't not speak about the MIG, the ring fencing of that. And you don't talk to COCTA, who's a department for that. And you don't take it to the level of cabinet and have the discussion and that awareness and even draw from input and trying to enrich the process that we are busy with. So yes, it's going to government, it's going to cabinet, and I think we're presenting tomorrow to cabinet committee meeting, if I'm not wrong. Chairperson, in terms of the leveraging of facilities, things, we are in that process of discussing with our colleagues in cabinet that so that we get that entrenchment done. Now, let me go to Mr. McKenzie. Honorable McKenzie, the reprioritization, I think, is noted. The comments are well taken. But let us just distinguish here on three things. The one is the history of the municipal infrastructure grant was that it was in a different category where we had to compete against cemeteries and all that. And honorable members are aware of that. We had to get that changed so that we don't compete to that we stand alone on our own, and we then make the case for a ring fencing of our money. That's done. That's done. We don't have to debate that issue. That's done. It's there. What happened now is a portion goes to human settlements. Hence, our discussion with the Minister of Human Settlements agree. He's announced it already. Whenever they plan specially sport and recreation, not one code, multi-purpose sport and recreation will be there for our people. So the mind shifts are there. When we talk to honourable members, the funding, this is why we say it's a consequential coming, because we know the needs, and I don't want to debate with honourable members. I just want to say what we've been saying here now. Listen what I've listened to this morning. The one honourable member makes a case for one code, hockey in the Karoo, wants the AstroTurf. Another honourable member made a case for other rural areas that don't even have a basic facility. The question arises, are we on the same hymn sheet, in the same country, surrounded with the same realities? That's the question arising. Because all over the world where you travel, you will find where the cities are, you have more of certain things than in the rural areas. I mean, you can put, with respect, honorable member, the AstroTurf anywhere in the Karoo, you will then have to build hotels and things to put bums in beds if they want to go to the tournament. One has to weigh up the priorities in this country. So Chair, we clearly have to also to prioritize in that regard. When it comes to TV, ICASA, we're having discussions with them. But honorable members, I don't think we have the, just me speaking, don't think we have the, we can tell a television or whoever, don't pay the sponsorship to that code and so on and so on. We can't do that. We can engage the Federation and say, wow, we're happy that you have clinched this wonderful deal. Can we talk to you and inform us, take us on board? How are you going to use the sponsorship money? Is it going to end up in big bonuses being paid for people? Or is it going to be directed against the needs of the sports plan that we've agreed? Those are the things.
That means, I think that the views here is that we need to engage the sponsors. We need to engage the sponsors so that they can look broader. Because you get, for instance, this very soccer team who get the 2 billion. Individual clubs get money from MTN. Getting money from MTN, they get money from Standard Bank, from Vodacom, you see? And now, that is what we are saying, that let us engage them, say that, look, this is not the only cause which is there. Yes, we can't dictate to you, but also, you must understand that there are other causes in this country. Thanks.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you. Now, we did mention, if you may recall in our presentation, that we are meeting with the sponsors as part of the process that we're embarking on. We are not only meeting with them, we're meeting with corporates, we talk into parastatals, we go on the hill, we embark on a whole process of engaging, of sensitizing, and unpacking what it is that we want to achieve. So that course of the process is taking place. And that is partly an answer of what is the difference between this Indaba and the 2008 Indaba and KZN. Now, you know, we are consulting, we're getting in the process, we're distributing documentation. We really, we will now start to pick up in the media campaign, and honorable members will pick it up and see and create that awareness as we unpack this. But the sentiments expressed are taken on board. We're not in disagreement on that. The notion of a strong PR campaign post the Indaba, in the build-up to the Indaba, specifically on transformation, what's meant by that, it's a given. It's absolute given. It's absolute given. I'm really surprised. Sometimes you hear people's views on transformation, you wonder whether we are really in the same country. So no, we have to talk to that straightly, vigorously, unashamedly, and do that. Honourable Chairperson, the lottery, we don't have to allude to that. However, let me just say this. Correct, it was to be for sport and recreation. We now get 22%. It's not enough. We want a fairer distribution of the percentage, ring-fenced to us, and let's, my advice would be, see what the outcome is of our engagement with DTI, the positive developments that we are seeing there. Honourable Chairperson, I want to come, and I'm going through the notes, I've made them. Honourable Chair makes the first one to allude to the treatment of honourable members at the Sports Awards. I was unaware of that. I really hear this morning for the first time that. So I'm really shocked. And I can only apologize to the honourable members. And I'm not going to, I can just apologize. We'll investigate. But honourable members, perhaps you must just understand that, and I will investigate. So I will come back to the committee and report to you. I can't sit here and say, I hear for the first time this morning, and then I, disappear. One has to speak to the host province, who clearly had a responsibility and role to play, and one will have to address the service provider appointed. And I will draw attention, honourable chairperson, honourable members, of this thing. I take it very serious. I will draw attention to that. I will come back with an answer to the committee and explanation. But and at this point, just unreservedly apologise. And we can come to understanding that I will come back with the answer after we've investigated. Honourable Chairperson, the whole discussion of punitive measures, the point is taken. It's taken, honourable member, but one has to just unpack it within the legal framework, firstly, and secondly, understanding the independence of international federations, affiliations, and whatever their charters are dictating. It's against that background that one will have to do that. But I think there are other ways of punitive measures. If we talk about the catch-up strategy, and we talk about the alignment of funding, I think there are other ways we can pinch people and maneuver things into that. I think we're on the same, but the point is like a well-made point. Honourable Chairperson, on terms of human resource, we have already identified with the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Chairperson may remember, that we really have a need to expand the department and the organogram of the department so that we have the necessary resources there to deliver on our mandate. Honourable committee members may recall that at that time we had a discussion to say the ministerial task team resolved that certain things had to happen, close the sports commission, form SASCOC, close all the other things, all Africa Games and so on, that took us a period of 2.5 years to conclude. And we have resolved, together with us, all of us, that now we have to embark on a new organogram. That is a work in progress. It's being developed. But Honorable Chairperson, the way I see things, I may be wrong, I don't think I am. Once we've concluded the Indaba and we have a plan now, we will then be in a position to say a consequential from this is, we say monitoring and evaluation, how will it be done, what are the practical implications, and do we need the resource component at the head office provincially, where, how? That will feed into the system. If we talk about the facilities, do we need an expanded directorate? So in other words, what I'm trying to say is, once we've completed the plan, the consequentials will kick in and speak to the organogram of the department. Clearly, we don't have to debate that the department is too small. We don't have all the resource we need to deliver on our mandate. I think that meant at that point we don't have to develop the debate. But honourable members, the other point made, which we will have a discussion, honourable chairperson will recall this at some point. What is also needed as part of a sport plan is leadership development. I mean, we cannot just wait, because the point is made by the honourable member to say, who are the people in the federations and so on. No, I don't want to go to specifics of individual specifics. But that's by and large the case, because there is no leadership development program in sport where people can be trained and empowered to go into a club, to go into a federation, to go into a structure, to deliver a service there. That must be a part of the sports plan. We cannot claim that we've had a sports plan if we've not addressed that. Honourable members, the 27 million of Life in terms of the participation figures, my sister, the department, if you agree, they will give you the answer to the participation figures. Honourable Chairman, and just stop there, just for us to again understand the importance of what Life is doing in terms of HIV and AIDS. However, just to understand for us, and me, I've been fighting this thing how long? The chairperson will vouch for that. You can stand in, you know that. But this is a consequential of another agreement that we end up with this money. We don't ask for this money. We are told this is the money in terms of that agreement that you get. Honorable Seke is aware of that. So we have a different view, but the department, when they respond to the specific one, can allude to the specifics of participants, but the alignment of some of our programs. I really trust my apology, which we will investigate in terms of sports awards, is accepted. Recreation and disability, I mean, that is, recreation is one of the priority areas that the minister talks to when he says it's one of the 6 points emphasized and amplified when we spoke about the sports plan, the roadmap. 6 points, one of them is recreation. The necessity to get people to recreate, whether they walk, whether they jog, whether they whatever, just to get them active, to get them moving. In terms of disability, we are absolutely biased towards that. It's not. And I think it's visible. If disability people are going to compete in the world, our people are excelling. Even in the awards, sport awards, specific emphasis to that. So if we can be more enriched and told what to focus on more, we will gladly do that. Honorable Chairperson, we must talk about this thing of, because you are not members, the only people getting these phone calls for funds for children to travel. We are inundated with that, absolutely inundated. And the problem, the way I see it, is that these children come, the PEEP agents come and they say, no, your child has now been selected to go and compete internationally. Find the money in judo or in karate or in whatever. And you find, when the parents come, my child must go, I don't have the money. It's not an arranged tournament by the federation, or it's not part of the development curriculum, or whatever. It is talent scouting, or whatever, coming in to say, come there. We must distinguish between that and our policy that no child will be excluded from participation in organized sport because of a lack of funds. That's precisely why we are fighting. The money we have for school sport is to pay for certain provincial and certain international tournaments. It's precisely for that reason. So we must just distinguish between the people that are making a business out of taking children to participate, and that organized and recognized by the federation and the departments. Honorable Chairperson, I want to just speak to New Zealand. We can't, because we have, this might be, you know, I don't know whether SA Rugby is inviting people or not. In terms of us, we are still awaiting presidential guidance who will go when, but clearly you can't must go for 7 weeks to New Zealand. I mean, that is just out of order. So the way I see it, IKAIA Center, our home from home, is opening on the 7th officially. It's opening on the 3rd, but on the 7th, it's the dinner that's being hosted by the minister for Team South Africa and selected guests and so on. IKAIA, I don't know whether the committee has been informed about IKAIA, but it's a multi-departmental exhibition support home from home that we're putting up in Wellington. Through the embassy there, we're networking with supporters in New Zealand to also take it to other regions. But then the official opening is the 9th, the 11th, the team plays Wales, the 11th, the next game is Fiji the 17th. The next game is in Namibia on the 22nd. Then we have the Sports in Damba planned. Then the next game will be Samoa on the 30th. Then we will go from the 2nd of October onwards. We talk about Springbok Night, South African Film Night, and then the day of the final thing starts, and the build-up is in the semi-finals and the playoffs. The 21st and 23rd. So, honourable members, I don't foresee that the, unless there's something that I've missed in the planning that we've done here, who will we be meeting when and where, because even if we are to accompany the President to the official opening, he's not going to leave a minister or a deputy minister there for forever. You're going to come back with him after the Springboks played Wales. I don't see it impacting. Secondly, in terms of...
You don't see a date impacting on the World Cup, that 26 and 7.
Not at all. I don't at all, because I have the planning. We've done the planning here, Honourable Chairperson, and I don't see it. I don't know.
You see...
if there's a different view, you must hear it.
Honourable Deputy Minister, you see, South Africa will be touring to New Zealand. All the key sports people are going to be there. Now, here at this Indaba, you are going to have your second team. And that is the worry. The other issue which I want to raise, you know, when you go to that sports Indaba, and we come out of it, it's going to be implementation time. Now, for us to understand this thing, we need a workshop. You know, I applied for a full day of a meeting for today. But unfortunately, there is this Women's Parliament. Because, you see, Deputy Minister, I want us to get up to date so that we understand each other. For me, it's important that we have a one-day workshop on this issue. So that we all understand that when we go to that endeavor, this is what we've agreed to. Because now you have to go and you have to give us feedback on these issues which has been raised. The other thing which one has not come to, the invitation to the Indaba.
But Jim, with respect, I'm still answering when
okay.
You started speaking.
Okay.
I mean, this was with respect the valid point you raised in terms of the clash of the date. I'm referring with great respect to a planning we've done, and do we say no, I don't foresee that it's clashing. Why do I say that? Because we have communicated with the SASCOC and the provinces the date and say who's going to be invited. It goes without saying, Honourable Chair, it was communicated already, I'll say it again. Of course, not only the portfolio committee, but the select committee will also be invited. It's a given, there's no argument about that. It's a given, Honourable Chairperson. What I'm saying is, the input I'm getting is, look at the implication of the Rugby World Cup. There may be a situation where people are not present here.
Yeah.
That is something I've said, look at that. I'm saying, fine, we made a note, we look at that. But the way I see the plan here, I don't think people are going to stay there for so long. But we took that into account. So Honourable Chair, and when we talk about invitations, I don't know who will invite the portfolio committee, but there are certain processes, you know how to work that. Whether the Parliament agrees that they go, or whether there is an invitation from whoever to travel there. I those are procedures out of us. But as a department, we can't invite the portfolio committee. We don't have budget for that, as far as I know. But Chair, we can look at that. Now, the question was asked, how many of the department will be in New Zealand? Well, the way I understand it, there will be two. Fulfilling the responsibility in the Ikaya Center, I think it's the Director International and the Deputy Director International. Rivina Lawrence and Mimi Tau will be there. And when we travel, we will either, it will be directed by the minister, but when the director general, acting director general travels with him, and which chief director travels when I go, and if I'm going at all, you know, Chair, it may even be that the decision is, I'm speculating, that we plan in terms of economizing that we go later with the president, because the binational, now the minister goes now. I can't speak on those things. The only thing I can say, who will be there from the department? Two people in the Ikaya Center. The balance will go as we graduate. So it's not as the department will be going there. Honourable Chairperson, the provincial is in Daba. We took the point of the specific one in the Western Cape. We will request. We will request the attendances and so on. But once again, Honourable Members, we are guided here by a legal framework and a constitution in this country. There are members of the executive councils in the provinces who, in a min-mec with the minister, agreed this is what we will do. We had a follow-up. They were present when we launched the Indaba on the 5th of April. We had a follow-up min-mec with them. All the heads of departments from the provinces are represented in the steering committee. We've given them the guiding documents where to go to. Now, this is where the difficulty is in terms of the legal framework. The province must conduct with their sports council, with their people, their Indaba. That's it. The goats must be there, the people must be there and speak in the provinces. But we will come back with the attendance list of the Western Cape. We will specifically request that. Honorable Chairperson, the drafting team is, as we've distributed this documentation for discussion, for input, and as the inputs are coming in on our website, we said from the steering committee, just in order to ensure that the enriching inputs we get, we put them in to the plan so that it's a accommodating plan. It is, help me, it's two members from SASCOC, Kaya Majeka and Ezra. It is Mr. Max Fusani, who is special advisor to the minister. It is Dr. Van der Spey as the chief director, strategic and executive support. And it is Mr. Guma from Salga. Salga, and that's it. Those are the people, but the oh yes, Mr. Ivorhoff from Gauteng. But the purpose of the drafting team, honorable chairperson, is just as we get the input, like the inputs of today, and those that will unfold from the various provinces, from the website, to ensure that we don't have a process where people give input, but we don't accommodate that. In fact, they go further, the drafting team, they engage with the various provinces, and the very same process will follow as we speak to the broadcasting people, as we speak to ICASA, as we speak to the sponsors, as we speak to the corporate sector, and as we speak to parastatals, so that we get the input enriched and take them on board with us in the process. Honorable Chairperson, I hope I have Ntate Olumisa, I was saying you spoke and you're not here when I speak. You came back, thank you. Just to say, no, memorandum to cabinet, we did answer that question. We're taking cabinet on board and discussing the whole process there. Honorable Minister, Chairperson, if I may make two observations. I trust we have agreement that the thrust of the sports plan as proposed, taking the enrichment process on board, is acceptable to the Honourable Committee. That when we talk about Athletes Association, Coaches Association, the necessity of leadership development program in sport, that we're in agreement with that. That, in other words, what I'm saying is the thrust of what the documentation are saying, we're in agreement that those are the things that should be in the sports plan, should form part of a sports plan, right from entry level, almost always set to retirement level. I accept that. And I say thank you to the committee. What I want to do, Chair, propose, the chairperson says he wants a full day workshop. We can have the full day workshop. There's nothing wrong with a Saturday. Absolutely nothing wrong. We can have the full day workshop. We must just be clear as to what do we want to discuss in the workshop. We are all there for it. We'll welcome it. In fact, if it's felt that we need more time to unpack more things and to give more input and to enrich the process, let's go. It's important. Because right at the heart of this, Honorable Chairperson, is we are going to end up, I can see it now, with a plan which is going to be a good plan, very good plan. That plan is going to be enriched, amended as we go along. But the important part is we will not have, I can't foresee that we will have a couple of billion rand we need overnight. We will have to do it incrementally, hence the minister's roadmap. To say in the sports plan, these six areas are the focus areas. We've agreed on that. We're enthusiastic about that, driving the process forward. And Chairperson, very lastly, Honourable Chair, the difference between professional and amateur sport must not be something that we take lightly. You see, Honorable Chairperson, the question that arises, if a professional sporting organization, and we only have really a couple that's really making money in this country, what is their corporate social responsibility in terms of development of other sporting codes or of their own code? Are they really, is it correct and fair to say that they must get, these are questions I'm asking because we must have this debate. Is it fair that they get any government funding? Must we not rather say no? We need you to fund your own thing in schools, and what are you contributing to development? You see, sir, I'm asking this question because mention must wait here by honourable member of former Model C schools. Now there is sports running. But go to them and find out how does it happen. I went. You go, and I'm going to mention 5 schools in Pretoria region. You go to Afrikaans Seenswoord. They tell you, yeah, no, the parents pay, we've appointed 2 teachers. Sport, klaar. You go to Boys High. They say, well, if a teacher comes here and he applies for a job, it's signed, klaar. We will give you a code which you will go. No extra pay, no nothing. You will be the master or whoever coaching in that code. You will groom them. And if they say, no, but I know nothing about hockey, they say, come, we'll put you on a course, we'll develop you. But you're a teacher, you don't argue with me, no extra pay, no nothing. You will do that. When you go to Menlo Park, they tell you, no, yeah, the parents pay a couple of rand a year, but what we've done is we've clustered the teachers, and what we've done is we've negotiated with part-time coaches, and we pay a little bit extra for the part-time coaches, and this is how we drive the business, and this is how we develop sport. And you go to Waterkloof, where in Pretoria, you speak there, they say, oh, here we have a totally different approach. So they have an academy system, they contract children younger than 18, they put them up in housing, and all these things that goes with that, and they have professional people coaching these children. The point is this, Honorable Chairperson, it seems that system seems to produce sporting talent. Our challenge is the no-fee schools. Our challenge is to have a warm body and to have teachers committed, and I speak freely, I say it, that will, just when you apply for a job, honorable lead this school, I don't negotiate, man. Klar, you will be extramural, give this activity to this children, and we must have the warm bodies there. I'm just saying we must enrich this debate to the point where when we come to the area, we must be clear that is the only way. Honorable Chairperson, unless there is a lack of facilities, unless we have school sport really going, we will not succeed in opening up and tapping into the huge resource of talent that we have in this country. Now, I don't want to go there because we will have a joint MINMEC. That's in the planning with school sport. In other words, a MINMEC where the Department of Basic Education will also have their MECs present, that is what's in the planning. And there has been various discussions between the two ministers. Wonderful progress has been made in that regard. And I think it will be fair for me. I'm not juggling the question, Honorable Chairperson, but I think in fairness, the minister will you know, when he's ready, have that meeting with his counterpart. But my observation was in the last meeting, agreement, enthusiastic, understanding the roles and who's responsible for what. The challenge is, Honorable Chairperson, the warm bodies to make sure that school sport is delivered. That's the challenge. And that's the resource we must go into and tap into. Honorable Chairperson, if I may ask, if I may be excused, but the department can still, if there are any other specific questions, elude and go into.
Yeah. No, there's no problem. You see, this thing, when Honorable Deputy Minister, one wants to have clarity. I don't want to go to an Indaba like the previous one. That is what I'm advising. We need to have the proper information so that we are satisfied with that information. Now, there are things which we have to go and come back with them. The issue of these Indabas will be happy if all provinces like the Western Cape, we can get that information for all the provinces so that we can understand. Yeah, you are free to go. Or you want to ask the minister?
Yeah. And you, a small thing, Chairperson, thank you.
Don't hold him message with us.
No, the problem, he responded too long and now we've got too little time to ask. But nevertheless, it was necessary. I just want to check from the Deputy Minister whether is there a document for discussion for us leading towards that Indaba, so that I understand the presentation was made, but for the framework of the actual Indaba, so that people are shaped. For instance, if you've got provinces that are going to this Indaba as a build-up towards that national Indaba, is there a framework for those provinces to say, these are the parameters that we would want you to focus in amongst all
others? The answer is yes.
Then the second one, the Chairperson, because if you can get also that document so that we are clear. Then the second issue, Chairperson, the enforcement tool beyond Indaba, because you would need a tool to enforce what you resolved at. You know, I'm not sure whether we need to look into that as very important. I think the other issue that he raised around the corporate social responsibility, it is very important, because in your negotiations, like ICASA with SABC, whatever, but surely there should be a way of enforcing or trying to lobby these corporate companies to have their social responsibility to uplift those no-fee schools that you just alluded to, because we are a little bit silent on that. So I think you need to elevate that discussion very clearly so that we are aware of what where we're going. Then the last point, which is probing, bothering the Chairperson around these federations and their autonomy. I think this Indaba is leading us towards to say this is a blueprint for the country, for these different sporting codes. Whoever does whatever he wants to do, but he must do it within the parameters of this. Otherwise, the autonomy, others will perpetuate the current status quo in sport without fixing, because there was a political reason to have this Indaba, so that we level the playing fields, so that everybody at the national level is equal. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mackenzie, quick.
Thanks, Chairperson. Minister, I know you want to go. Just two things, just two observations. In terms of school sport, when we had the joint sitting between education and sport, I proposed to the sitting chairperson, and our current acting chairperson was there, that academy students, as part of their curriculum, whether it be rugby, whatever the academy is, hockey, whatever, become coaches at the schools to help the load, share the load, and they're not only coaching the pupils, but they can also help coach the teachers. That must be part of their curriculum and social responsibility. That is the first thing. The second thing is controversial, but my colleague over here mentioned the question of white elephants. Now, when we approved the construction of a lot of these big stadiums for the World Cup, it was done on the basis, it was a conditional grant, on the basis that there would be communication with various codes to see where they could be used. That didn't happen, as we know, in some instances. And so some of the stadiums are not suitable for whatever. As a suggestion, and it might be controversial, but to get money back into sport, would it not be an idea to sell some of the stadiums that are currently underutilized or characterized as possibly white elephants, and those funds get plowed back into this national sports plan that we're talking about? Because as you've said, we're doing six areas initially because of lack of funds, and I'm saying maybe there's a way of getting foreign people to come in with the currency differentials. Maybe that's the way of looking at it. Maybe Lotto comes and buys a smaller stadium. I don't know, which helps multiple codes. Thank you.
Chairperson, may I just, with your permission, please?
Yes.
I had understood the honourable member who spoke about a facility was not alluding to a World Cup facility. He was alluding to a different facility in the area that she specifically mentioned. I did not respond to that. I made a note because we will certainly follow up and find out what's happening and what's the process. But honourable chairperson, let's just go back to facilities. I mean, this World Cup facilities. We may recall that the initial bid went in with 8 stadiums. Amongst them were Newlands, Ellis Park, Loftus, Bloemfontein, existing stadiums. But when we were awarded the World Cup, chairperson, it was a decision of the majority party, and therefore the government, with wide support. Nobody ever objected, raised any concern when we said we want to engage FIFA to build 10 stadia in the provinces of our country. The one that will not get one is the Northern Cape because of the capacity, but we'll do something additionally special for them. It was agreed. And it was a decision to build them as part of a legacy. They're beautiful, they are there. Those of us who were there Saturday again in PE, wonderful facility, and all over the show. It is up to us trying to ensure that federations, take hands and share the facilities and use the facilities to the maximum. And that is another discussion, Honourable Mackenzie. I don't want to respond to setting of facilities because to me, that is the beginning of the end. And I'll explain to you why. My biggest concern, my biggest objection at the moment, I speak for myself, the prices of tickets are ridiculous. The prices of tickets for the ordinary man in the street is ridiculous. You can't charge people that money. I don't want to be code specific, but certainly, sir, you will know. It is becoming a little bit of a lucrative thing to charge people. So me, I will fight till the end, not to sell one facility, but to rather manage the facility in such a way that it is affordable for the ordinary man in the street to take his child, to take his wife, to go and watch a game of soccer, of rugby, of whatever. So I declare, me, I'm in the fight to make it cheap for our people to go to these games. I don't want to see a facility sold, because the next thing, the prices go up and up and up. Honourable Chairperson, I trust I've covered as wide as possible. We've taken notes, and I really ask, I'm a little bit in trouble with another appointment, please. Thank you.
Go, but we will send you a package with Dr. Van der Spey. You know, comrades, are you sorry? Honorable members, you know, this thing of being an ANC activist, all your life you forget that you are in this kind of meetings. Yeah, I wanted to. They didn't introduce you. So I didn't know. I thought somebody, you are going to be introduced by Professor Singh. But no, I see you are leaving. Oh, okay. No, I was just checking that. Might be
You've employed somebody new now in the department.
Yeah, okay.
You know, honorable members, I don't know. I think at some stage we need to have a joint meeting with the NCOP for this matter. So that we don't speak with different voices. At times we don't hear what the NCOP is saying. And then you just hear that, hey, it's not the same language as us. And I think at some stage we have to look into that one. But Dr. van der Spee, the information which we need, you've noted it down. Yes. I think let's leave the Indaba thing now. Are we in agreement? And move to the next one. General, Mauchu Ange Pansi, Ndenziluare.
But you've raised the clash of dates.
Yes.
I thought you would flag that by saying to the department, go and revisit those dates. But I think the people who should be conscientized about those dates are the rabbi leadership. It's to say, on such and such a date, we have these dates. See to it that you are represented at the most senior level. Just in case the minister and the department are not flexible to change those dates. The rest of this postcode, I think, will attend that. But the possibility, I sense that these fellows are not sure whether the Springbok will go to the second round. Maybe that's why they are sticking to 2050.
General, please leave that. I think you've noted this concrete proposal from the general. I don't have to repeat it.
Honorable Chair, I think on the dates, can we maybe also then propose that SASCOC is having their AGM this coming weekend, that we, and they're going to have the Friday where they're going to discuss the draft plan as well, that we also use that opportunity maybe just to determine how many of the federations at the top level will be able to attend the Indaba on those specific dates. And if that causes a problem, I think then we have to reconsider the dates. Then can I just confirm also, Chair, the documents that we will forward to you now is first of all the inputs that we have received from the provinces. I think we have received inputs now from about 5 of the 9 provinces. I've seen one, the one from Limpopo was the first one. But we have also asked them to, together with the inputs, to indicate to us the process of organizing their provincial Indaba. Because I have been requested to also have workshops at a regional and district level building up to the provincial Indaba, together as an indication of who attended the different workshops and the Indaba. So we can make that information available to you, and then we will also forward to you, maybe we'll just look at that document again, outlining the key issues of the Indaba and the National Sports Plan. And lastly, Chair, there was a question, if I can very quickly just respond to that, on the documents on the website pertaining to the Indaba. Just to say that the two key documents that are on the website is the draft National Sports Plan and the Transformation Charter. But then there's also in the draft plan reference made to critical issues, and there are some what we call reference documents, also now part of the whole process on the website. And that includes documentation with fixed proposals or criteria for the prioritization of NFs, a code of ethics for South African sport, life skills for athletes, the public opinion piece that the minister's office prepared. There is a first discussion document on the funding model. So there are other documents also that can enrich the whole process. Then we will also add the inputs from the provincial Indabas. We will also add that. But I must say, Jay, there is a problem that we maybe will need to look at the screening process. Because unfortunately, the private sector is also misusing this opportunity. And a lot of them are coming now with inputs promoting their private sports products. So we just need to look at how are we going to deal with that issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable, I wanted to move on, but let me give you...
Chair, I also requested additional information as far as the public opinion is concerned. We would like to have, if any, of the public opinion regarding the whole thing. And then also the municipalities that has failed, the 30% that has failed to submission as far as the facilities is concerned. As stated earlier that we are, most of us are deployed to various respective provinces, we perhaps can also play a role to assist and to see, or, you know, assess what is the problem of those municipalities who did not submit this information.
Honourable Lee, Chairperson. The director said that the first plan that they received was from Limpopo, but he also said they received plans from, I think, six provinces. Could we have the names of those provinces, please?
Honourable Chair, the provinces that I know have submitted their inputs and comments now are the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, Gauteng, and Limpopo.
Yeah, thank you. Before we go over, there is just something which bothers me also. That's why I've asked the issue of the invitations. You see, there are individual sports people. Let me make an example of Lucas Radebe. He does not belong to any club. Now, the inputs of those people, where do we take them? We take them to the website or what? And these are the issues which one needs to understand. They are individuals who can make an immense contribution. But I've been asking, I don't get that question, but I hope we'll get that one, because I want to move on. Really, I'm concerned. I have met some individuals there at the awards. Some of them said, hey, we are not even aware of this endeavor which you're talking about. So, Zinjal. You know, Sis Lulu, I was lobbying you there, knowing that we are going to have be faced with this problem. It's 5 to 1 now. It's 1 o'clock. And really, when I was looking, I wanted us to postpone the department meeting. But it just said, no, I just, that was unofficial. I'm sorry, but it's set up into 8 to 3 to a bilateral. But in the Sindhi Lelonda. The one issue which I want Professor Singh to brief us on, that boxing team we gave you people 14 days. And those 14 days has expired long, long time ago. And I just said to myself, I'm going to see you here. Because journalists are phoning me left and right. There is one who phoned this morning as well. And I said, listen, don't worry. We will see Professor Singh. And you can phone me this afternoon. Can you please brief us on this issue? Because really, we can't have cut-off dates and then things just go on as nothing has happened. I know that members want to go for lunch, but really I think this is important. While you look for your documents, there's an invitation up, members, for Unite Behind the Box. It's on the 1st of September. The one is in Sandton at 3:30. The other one is in Cape Town, also at 3:30.
at the waterfront on the 1st of September. Chief, I've been speaking to these people even there at the awards. I spoke about the jerseys and they said, I don't know how many boxes are on their way, but I don't know whether it's not this one which were confiscated. I don't know. But they're still waiting. Professor Singh.
Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you. With regards to the boxing report, the department was requested at the Portfolio Committee meeting to interrogate the reports that were presented to the Portfolio Committee, to call its own meetings to gather evidence and to submit a comprehensive report within 14 working days. The written brief that we got from Portfolio Committee with regards to this clearly stipulated that we had 14 working days from the date of the meeting that we have. So we met with the relevant parties except for Mr. Fana and Mr. Mavamala, because for logistical reasons, being in the Cape, they could not travel to Pretoria to join the meeting. They did inform us beforehand there is no way that they could make the date that we had set. And we continued with that meeting on the, I'm just looking for my date here, sorry.
So the matter has not been solved. We are not ready to pray for
it. Chair, I do have a draft report. However, the final edited report, within the next day or two, I need our Acting Director General to sign it off so that it can be forwarded to the Portfolio Committee. The problem is that at this point in time, we are still finalizing the report, but I have the draft copy. We are done with it, and it's a question of editing and just supplementing.
Keep it simple, Prof. You are not ready. You will be ready in 2 days. That's all.
Chairperson, if I could say something. He is correct. But the only thing that I want to say, Chairperson, the professor, the department had a brief. They were given timelines, and they stuck to their timelines. Really, that was your question. Listen, did you meet? That was the question. And I'm glad that they met, Chairperson, and I will await your report now. Thanks, Chairperson.
Can I just ask the question? Mr. Mala, is it Mala? Mava Mala and Mr. Fana, were they informed in time about this meeting? Because everybody was present at the meeting when he said that we are giving you 14 working days. Nobody said that they are going to have a problem. Now, the date which is scheduled for that meeting, was it sufficient time for them to get to that meeting? Or what were the problems?
Chair, everybody had the same notice, and we regarded it as sufficient time. It was a week before the actual meeting date. The reasons given by Advocate Mavamala and...
The date which you set for the... Let's get through these 14 days. The date which you set for that meeting, how many days prior the meeting did you give them? The notification or the notice of the meeting, that's what I want to know.
Chair, they were given a week.
Okay. Thank you, Sir President. May I make a concrete proposal that Mr. Prof, meet with yourself and review, but in the next meeting of Tuesday, I assume that our meetings are on Tuesdays, we got a comprehensive report based on what he's saying, because he's having a draft that is going to be signed this week, so that next week, surely they are trying to say they'll be ready. But in between, the chairperson must get some reports in terms of the progress. I would want to propose in that fashion. Thank you.
Yeah, although I wanted to wait for this thing. They want to edit it and what have you. I wanted to give them that chance. I don't want people to see that we pressurize them unnecessarily. If it suits you, Comrade Zuka. But I just want this thing. Want to, you know, this thing of us dragging things. That's not my style of work. This is a timeline, and we must just stick to it. Now, department, Prof, it's 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock, we must go into the chamber. It's a tree-line whip. Now, tree-line whip, it's not that we are going to get 3 lashes. It just says that it's compulsory that it must be there. That is the problem, because I applied for us to have the afternoon also, but it was turned down because of this thing. So we are here now. How do you get out of it?
Thank you, Chairperson. I know that we've got a scheduling program for our meetings and in terms of the agenda. But can I make a proposal, Chair, that with due respect in terms of the logistics coming here and going back without giving a report? Because this previous one was very important, this item that we've come from. Can we request through you, Chairperson, that this matter of the finances, the quarterly report, I'm sorry, we take it as number one, number two, the final report or whatever report, and then we go to our agenda, but very briefly so, in the next meeting.
There is a proposal. Honorable Maglua.
Yeah, I actually want to second it, Chair, but I just want to raise a concern being confronted at this meeting with reports of this nature, quarterly performance reports. I am of the opinion that we must be given ample time also, a day before, to go through these things, peruse, analyze it, and have solid input. There might be a sound reason why this document reaches us only today, but please to the department in future that we get this in time. Thank you.
Oh, I can't mean anything. That's it, I'm going to be ambushed. There is a prof. We understand, really. But I foresee this thing really, 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 that this is going to be a problem. That this input from the Indaba is going to take its own time. And the department is going to take its own time. And I said to the committee the last time that I want us to do justice, more especially if we are going to deal with these quarterly reports. This thing will just and then go. That's why things don't happen. We must also be in a position to take you back that we've raised these things. Where, how far are you with them? Why have you not implemented them? And all those things, you see? So we need sufficient time, and that's why I'm saying also, we want each directorate, not you, Prof, as sorry to point to you, not you as leader of the delegation, to deal with this here. Facilities must be here. Whoever must be here. It's only 6 certificates which we'll accept. At a later stage, you might even say that we don't accept 6 certificates. We don't. We only accept 10 certificates. So, we really apologize, as department. Really, but we thought that we'd be in a position to deal with these things. Are we in agreement, leader of the delegation?
Honorable Chair, we are fine with the decision. We will respond accordingly, and we'll make sure that the relevant directors are here the next time we meet as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
When I just checked the issue, now that it seems to me there are very important matters, is it not possible to start at 9 rather than 10 for the next meeting? And I'm just throwing it aloud, because there are many items which are very important on this issue. I'm just throwing it. I did not canvas it, but I'm just raising it.
they'll come back and we'll communicate. But you see, the other thing is also the transport, Wena Kumritsuka, from the rebellious land, and even for them, you know, in the morning, N2 is busy coming from Thailand. Yeah. But let me say thank you very much. Sutulu, thank you for the soup which you bought me there in Lanza. And Kelly, also thank you, because you also bought me water. No, we understand, Sis Kelly. Sorry now, we no more have a budget for lunch now, is it? Or otherwise we can next time just check you to take you to Mzoli. Thank you, bye.
Where's we long for Mr. Kompela? That is when we miss Mr. Kompela.
My report will be on it's pmg.org.za. Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, we're able to record things, so I go back and I transcribe what I've heard. I mean, I take notes pretty thoroughly, but I need help to fill in the gaps. So.
Well, good luck, eh?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, it was a good meeting.
Yeah, definitely.
I went through this thing 4 hours in the room, and it's a solid document, but the problem is that it's the money.
Okay, I'll take care.
My name's Marcus.
Marcus
Joe.
Nice to meet you.